Oh, they said just start speaking.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at home. This is where I'm praying.
Yeah, something
no.
Oh.
Different. About this
So, look at this communication of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the words in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 15, I'll turn there. But we're going to read this verse where the Lord says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And we're going to look at that. We look at how the Lord Jesus Christ communicates. As we study our Bible, we're going to use that as a blueprint and see how our Savior communicates to us. To look at what he's saying there on the cross of Calvary. This morning, we're going to look at how the Lord and what the Lord is communicating to us about that house of God. In Genesis chapter 35, Genesis chapter 35, we see this little place called Bethel. Found in and Bethel literally means the house of God. That's what it means in Hebrew. And when we see that name, Bethel, we need to be reminded of the Lord. And so, if we're going to talk about how the Lord Jesus Christ communicates in the New Testament, I look at what the Lord is communicating to us about the house of God in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1 reads this: And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there. Let me read it again. And God said to Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel. And dwelling there. In Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Now, as you're turning back a few pages in Genesis chapter 12, I'm not going to interpret that verse for you. I'm not going to tell you what that verse means. But what I'm going to do is I'm simply going to remind you what the verse said. The verse said that the Lord said, or God said to Jacob, Go to Bethel and dwell there. That means live there. That means buy a property there, set up a room to stay, set up a shop, set up a house. I want you there. I want you there. That's what he said, and that's what he communicated. Not sojourn, not hang out, not vacation, but live there. Only to Bethel, and only to live there. You know what that is? That's the house of the Lord. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. How did we get there? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of there from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house, and into the land that I will show you. I believe, and we'll look at this in a moment, but I believe that the Lord's going to take Abram out of the northern counties, and he's going to take him into the promised land. And when he stops, we're going to see him stopping at a place called, or near a place called Bethel. In just a few verses. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice is that the Lord didn't say to him, Go to Bethel. The Lord said, effectively, get out of your country, get out of her, leave your family, leave your country, and follow me. I need you to know where to go. I just need you to come. Isn't that interesting? So, that's a different mindset than the mindset here in the United States, or where we go. You know what happens? A lot of times on the weekends, some of my kids will say, My dad, where are you speaking this weekend? Or where are we going when we get in the car? Very normal, right? Are we there yet? One different question as we travel. You know what the Lord wants? He doesn't want you to necessarily always know. And I say it this way constantly. The just do not live by knowledge, the just live by faith. The Lord wants you to follow. The Lord wants you to live and walk in faith. The Lord wants you not to know the end, but to know who's leading you. There, as they wandered through the promised land, they would simply follow the Lord. The pillar of fire or smoke, whatever the case was, they simply followed the Lord. Is that what you're doing? Is that the way you're living? Are we following the Lord? You see, the call is not go to Bethel first. The call to Abraham is follow me. So often in our circles, and we're reminded of these things, and there's nothing wrong with it. Please don't take that this simple thought. There's nothing wrong with us inviting people and bringing people into the house of the Lord. But in the New Testament, there is not one conversion here. Not one conversion. The people go out with the gospel. They preach the gospel, and people see the word of God. And there's conversion that happens here. life is devoted to the Lord. Focus on politics or money, nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. Less worth following him than the power plane. Nothing different about the call of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He comes to Abraham and says, leave. Get out from your family. Get out from your country. Get out from your country and follow me. Just come. Just come. Let's go. And Abraham is obedient to that call. Here we go. He's reading verses in Mark chapter 2. I'll have a verse in Mark chapter 2. You don't need to turn there. It's verse 14 if you want to. But in essence, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm absolutely blown away by certain verses that we have read all our life. And yet, the Spirit of God has written these things for us to see them. Okay, and for you to go, well, what must we do? For me to read that verse and say, is this really how we live? You would walk by men named Matthew. You can do that in Spanish too. It's Mateo. Got that. Levi, said another one. He would walk by this tax collector named Matthew, and you know what he said? Matthew, son of Elias, I know you, in essence. See, that detail was far. Matthew, son of Elias. What about his mortgage? Did he have one? I don't know. Did he have the rent? I'm not sure. Did he have responsibility? Absolutely. Did he have a family? With 101 different reasons, rational reasons, good reasons, human reasons, that should go nowhere. Marvel at the faith of Matthew. Marvel at the obedience of Matthew. Jesus Christ walking by, turning as it were, Matthew, son of Elias, Matthew, forsaking everything. The doctrine. That's the teaching. Forsaking all things, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Something with Abraham. And he comes to this place in Genesis chapter 12. And we want to begin to notice that when we see Bethel, we see certain things, especially in the Old Testament, and we see them again in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. And the Lord appeared in Abraham. And said, until I see, will I give this land. And there will be the altar of the Lord who appeared in him. And he removed there and spoke out on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar of the Lord and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going still onto, toward the Negev. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn. First thing I want you to note in the passage is what we see twice. Note it, see it, and get the power of it in Scripture on your mind. What do we see when he gets to Bethel? What do we see when he gets to the house of the Lord? He sees the Lord speaking promises. This is the land that I'm going to give your seed, Abraham, Isaac. Jacob, we know these patriarchs. This is the place that I have promised to you. And then we see an altar. Sacrifice and promises. Sacrifice and promises. I didn't come up with that. I'm just simply giving the text back to you today. And then Abraham leaves in a time of famine. Guys, if there's one place that you need to be, and you need to anchor your life, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, it is this place. This is the place where the Lord is. This is the place where the promises of God are put in your ear every week fresh. This is the place where we come and sacrifice. Guys, there is nothing in the New Testament more beautiful than the Lord's people gathering and their hearts are pure. Not always the case with me, once. But when their hearts are pure and they're coming to the house of the Lord and they're absolutely entwined with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are spiritual sacrifices going to the very nostril of God. There is nothing. There is nothing on it. Promises of God going forth in your ear. The spiritual sacrifices, remembering the sacrifice that saved your soul from hell. And yet so often, we sojourn. So often, we leave. I'm going to talk about your physical presence. I wish I could report it back differently. I wish I could say, speaking down my nose to you, but oftentimes, there is oftentimes, even still in my life, more so in my youth, when I was here, when I wasn't here. When you're here, be here. Does that make sense? So often my wife, I'll come home, and I've been busy all day long. Every moment, a phone call. Every moment, a meeting. Every moment, an email dings in, comes in. And yet she'll say to me, she'll say, Stephen, this is dinner. This is your family. And you're here. I'm at the table. I'm here, babe. You want me to need you here. When you're here, you gotta be here. Not making grocery lists, not thinking about the responsibility of the day, but communing with the hearts and minds of the believers and going to the Father. Hearing what you need to hear, which is the promises of God in your ear. Don't sojourn in Egypt. Don't go there. I hope that in this week of weeks that happens every 4 years, or if you want to count midterms, every 2 years, that your heart was not distracted with these things. I thought about it all. Your eyes need to be on the King. Your heart needs to be there. Don't find other places. Don't find satisfaction in anything else. Do not be deceived. I'll say this to you as I speak to myself. Fathers, young and old, grandfathers, young and old, be careful where you take your family. Be careful where you sojourn. Be careful what is brought into your home. Be careful of the world. A little educated family. Hey, babe, there's a famine in the land. Let's go and sojourn in Moab. Let's go hang out in a place where the promises of God are forgotten, where the flesh reigns. And Naomi came back. She came back alone, leaving Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech dead and gone away. She came back with Ruth. She came back bitter. You notice the bitterness in our nation. You notice the bitterness in our society. Most are bitter. You leave the places, you leave the promises, you need, you leave the truths and the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect bitterness. Expect bitterness. Don't be bitter. Careful where you sojourn. Didn't work out very well for Abraham either as he left the house. Let's go over quickly to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. I'm like in this weird place where I can only read with glasses, but I'm not still used to them. Watch me age. See the realities. Genesis chapter 28. Notice the patterns. Notice the patterns. Notice the patterns of Scripture. When we get to Bethel, notice, is the promises of God? Are there sacrifices here? Genesis chapter 28 and verse 11. And he came to a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was setting. He took the stones of that place and put them for a pillow and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up to earth, and the top reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, I will give it to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places which thou goest. And I will bring thee again to the land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it. He was afraid. and said, how awesome is this place? It is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took stones which he had put for his pillow and set them up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of them. They called the name of that place Bethel. We've got to read the Bible slowly. I know life is a hurry and fast life. Don't read this Bible. We need to make note. Remember the game of memory? Remember that? Before the tablets, before the phones, before the Nintendo. Literally, that dates me. 1986. Before all these things, it was the game of memory. Remember how you turn the box? And you would try to find the matches. When you read the scripture, read it like that. Where have I seen Bethel before? Where have I seen promises before? Where have I seen altars before? And let the scripture match me. See it that way. So that you would know that the doctrine is true. So that you would hear the communication from the Almighty. I want you to live in Bethel. I want you to have your life in the Lord. I want you to sacrifice there. I want you to remove the sacrifices there. I want you to dwell there. I want you to hear the promises every 7 days. Lest you forget what my doctrine is. What this life is all about. Where your needs should be met from a spiritual standpoint, where there are people that love you, not because of your skin, not because of your tongue, your language, but because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our bond. This place. And Jacob would wait and say, this place is awesome. Oh, really? It's awesome? No, Carowinds is awesome, okay? Carowinds is, this place is awesome. You just use a rock for your pillow. I remember when I could sleep on a rock. Literally, I used to sleep. It literally didn't matter. I remember when I walked into those cabins at Mountaintop Youth Camp, and I would see the mattress pad that was that big, and I would think, no problem. Was it an impressive place? Rocks for pillow. Yet he called it an awesome place. Let's take a funny story. Back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, my father worked for an insurance company for a while. In those insurance companies, you got young men that are trying to make something of themselves, starting out in that career, and then you've got those executives, you know, the ones with deeper pockets, the ones that have been for a while, the ones that have made money, you know. My dad overheard a conversation at this point. 40-some years ago, about a young man walking into, at that time, Jefferson Pilot Life Insurance, and he had a new suit. And Dad said, "Looking for lives." A man walked into Jefferson Pilot with a new suit on, a young man, and he stood before a few executives, and he said this, can you believe that I got this suit this weekend for only $25? Found this suit. The man only charged me $25. One of those executives said this, "Yes, we can." Yes, we can. If many of you have never been there. Steve's been there. Richie. Thank you. I could have given you 150 names of who I want to see today. I didn't think it would be Richie. I think he's been there. A few of you may have. Chris has been there many times. I said to Chris Ross, "Chris, can you believe that this building that we rent in Ramland, North Carolina, where Ramland Bible Chapel meets, can you believe, Chris, that we only pay $500 a month to rent this building?" Chris would say, "Oh, yeah." I can't believe it. Most people don't get it this way. Most people see it this way. And I might be totally wrong, too. But you don't go to Ramland because it's this building. There's nothing that pleases the eye here. Only one bathroom. I wish we had two. That I wish. $500 a month. You see, in the Lord's house, it's not about real estate. It's not about how it looks. It's not about fancy pillows and fancy buildings. The place is holy because the Lord is there. Jacob said, this place is awesome. The Lord is here. See how the Lord is spelled? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know what that means? Literally, that's giving us like a little code, a little key to the Bible. You know what that means? Jehovah is here. When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your Bible, that literally means that the word in Hebrew is Jehovah. Jehovah is here. And I am not. This place is awesome. Because Jehovah is here. And God's going to tell you, if you're not at the place in your spiritual life, if you have not matured to the place in your spiritual life where you get that, we got to start it. We got to focus on what's important. That's a pretty nice building, especially when you compare it to rain. But it's nothing about this. This place is important because the Lord communes with his people here. Here. This place. And I don't care if this building's worth $10 million or two. I don't care if it's worth $150,000 or it's $500 a month. Guys, that's the reason. Know the reason why this place is so important. Promises of God are given at this place. In a culture that is lost and dying, in a culture, take it from me, in a culture that medicates itself, in a culture that is depressed, in a culture that has anxiety, in a culture that is concerned and worried and depressed, not making light of those things at all, knowing in my own life what it is to be down, to be anxious, to be depressed, draws on the Lord. You need to come here because this is the place that the Lord communes with his people. You've got to take that. You've got to remember that. You've got to examine your life. We'll say these things to preach. We say these things. And the Spirit of God would put it on the heart. And we leave these doors and go, I need to refocus. I need my life to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. I need this place to be where my life revolves. It's not about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a memory. But you need him, Jesus. That's what my father would tell me, growing up. And it was water off the duck's back. Water off the duck's back. Son, you're going to be there, he would say. Hey, boy. We'll talk about that term I used so much in my life in the next meeting. Hey, boy. It's a term of the year, term of the long. Hey, boy. You're going to be there. But listen to you. You need to be there. You, 13, you at 14, you at 12, you at 7, you need to hear the promises of God. You need to know the doctrine. One day I will be here. One day you'll be on your own. How will you live? What will you live? What will your life be absolutely grounded in? Better be the doctrine and the word of the Lord. You need to hear the promises, Rigo. I need to hear the promises. Richie Benitez would say, I need to be filled and hear the promises of God. Where are they? They come from them. This is the place. This is the place where your seed will dwell. And in July, I was in Israel. You know who was scattered abroad from east to south to west to north? You know who was scattered abroad? Jacob's seed. The fulfillment of these verses. We talked about sacrifices. You need to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And then the beauty of the pattern of the New Testament house of God is we're not going to go 7 days. We're not going to go 7 days without reminding you what Jesus Christ has done. Of how he loved you. Of how he sacrificed. How deep for you. This is my body, which is broken. How deep for you. For you. That's what you need. I've told people for the entirety of my adult life, I need to go in to the Lord's Supper. And I need to break the bread. And before that happens, I need to examine myself. Richie, I'm there. Because pride is always there. Because my focus and my mindset can wander. You are, Lord, prone to believe in God. What a healthy thing it is for you to come here. And yet again, look at him. These things happen in the house of the Lord. It's not an impressive place. Do you remember the Old Testament? Do you remember what it was? The outside covering of the tabernacle? Balaam's gift. Remember that? You didn't see one Balaam. I was there for 2 weeks. Covered the whole place. For 2 weeks, I didn't see one badger. I was looking. Where are these badgers? I don't want badger skin. I brought a badger skin home today, Chris. She wouldn't let me do this. You can leave badger skin outside. You have no need at 1196 Lakes of Fair for any badger skins. You know what the house of God would want? It's covered in badger skins. It's impressive from the outside. Was there gold inside? But more than that, the presence of God dwelt between those covering cherubim above the mercy seat. Remember the two rooms the Lord's impressing on us? Remember that, Steve? It's like he does it down for us sometimes. Okay? We really don't need to get this. We don't need to analyze. We don't need to translate or something. All we need is this. We just need to remember there were two rooms. And one was the holy place, and then one was the most holy place. Do you get that? Most important. This place is. And I know what Jacob would say. Be careful. Be careful where you go. Be careful where your heart is, man. You are precincts. Be careful where your mother is. Be careful where you home. Be careful who your trust is in. And be reminded today that the house of the Lord is holy and precious. And there is no place. There is no place in the entirety of the world like this place. You know, Bethel's not found in the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? The Old Testament, the house of the Lord was a geographical place. We talked about the foundation of the Old Testament house of God. It was built upon the foundation of the threshing floor, the ordinary Jebusite, which has doctrine upon doctrine upon doctrine. I think it's 2 Chronicles 3:1, where it says that. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure. The tabernacle. Then we go to Solomon's temple, to Herod's temple, its geographical place. The disciples were very impressed with that place. Look at these stones. Look at this place. But in the New Testament, Bethel's not found because it's not a geographical place anymore. It's not about Jerusalem or Shiloh. It's about where two or three are gathered in that name. That could be a building that needs to be painted yet again that someone rents for $500 a month where 40 saints come and break the bread. Where 40 saints are reminded that we love Jesus Christ. He is exalted in this place. Only in the house of the Lord. We're not going to turn back, although I want you to make note. We're not going to turn back to Genesis chapter 35. But in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 16, what a testimony this is to me. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 16, Jacob leaves Bethel. He leaves. And by the end of the chapter, see this as a warning. Get this as a warning. It's not a joke. By the end of the chapter, this is hard to say, weird to say, but I'll say it, and you'll understand it in context. His favorite wife dies. His son Reuben sleeps or lays with his handmaid, Philip, and Isaac dies. All by the end of the chapter. Three things. Be careful when you leave the house of the Lord. Be careful when you wander. I have so many illustrations, so many names, and so many testimonies I can tell you of so many folks who left the evangelical, who left the true house of the Lord. I'm talking about this, so we're talking about the place that names the Lord Jesus Christ. And they leave. And they sojourn, and they go, and they slide away. And there's all these reasons. But in reality, their life begins to move. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. Be careful. Be careful. Praise the Lord for this peace. Pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ for all that we have in him. Father, that you may teach us, that you may communicate to us the importance of this place. Praise the Lord. It is not fancy buildings and real estate that draws us together. Praise the Lord. It is the precious, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to be preaching to a group that speaks different languages from different nationalities. Father, the world will look at this group and say, what do they have in common? Oh, Father, we have one thing in common, and it is a love for our Savior. And his name is wonderful. And his name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.